Hello, everyone. Welcome to the AARP program, featuring items of interest to our senior listeners. This is information found in AARP publications, as well as other sources, and the program is presented by OWL Radio, which is a community service of the Low Vision Resource Center, and this is Bob Locke reporting. Well, Cindy Campbell appeared in Kiplinger's twice, first back in November 2007, when she shared her strategies for getting out of $7,000 in credit card debt from college and then saving to buy a house at age 25. In something called 11 Tips to Be a Better Saver, and she talked about the importance of building an emergency fund. And this is a lifesaver when she lost her job in 2009 and was out of work for 6 months. Now, the emergency fund also gave her the freedom to take 16 weeks of unpaid maternity leave after her daughter was born in 2011. Well, Campbell's now 36 years old. She still lives in the same house and celebrated her 6th anniversary as a legal assistant for a nonprofit in Washington, D.C. And she continues to follow the rules for living the good life. Living below your means, saving, have an emergency fund, and having little or no credit card debt is the way to go, she says. Well, Campbell says she pays off her credit card bill in full every month. An avid traveler, she has planned trips to Jamaica, the Bahamas, and Miami for herself and her daughter without landing in debt. Now, to save for her vacations ahead of time, she earmarks a little bit of money from every paycheck for what she calls a play account. She starts to plan 6 months to a year in advance, jumping in to buy tickets when airfares are low, and she monitors hotel prices online and reads reviews before making a decision. And she tends to find the best rental car rates through something called Hotwire. Then before traveling to Miami last year, she paid $70 for a discount entertainment card. I probably did $200 worth of activities in Miami, she said, and you can pre-plan your day to get the biggest bang for your buck. McCamel recently completed a major home improvement project, and she used YouTube videos to learn how to do most of the work on her own, with the aid of friends and family, including her daughter, who helped paint her bedroom pink. McCamel saves for retirement in her 403b plan, and she benefits from her employer's contribution. Now, after the daughter started school and her child care expenses decreased, Campbell was able to boost her own contribution. Well, right now, she's aiming to replenish her emergency fund, which she tapped last year when she had to replace her 2005 Honda Accord. And to help her do so, she plans to refinance her mortgage, which will cut her monthly payments by about $200. And Campbell's longer-term goal to teach her daughter how to reach her own goals and says, I'll give her an allowance and let her know things are not free, but you can save to buy them. Have you ever wondered, what can you do with those old tech products that you no longer need or even want? Well, the best thing to do is to sell your older models before a new version is launched. And the moment the announcement goes out, everyone wants to upgrade, according to Scott Steinberg, who's head of a consulting firm called Tech Savvy Global. Now, in general, Apple products hold their value best, but on the flip side, don't expect much demand for a desktop PC. And you might want to trade in your tablet. Online trade-in services such as Gazelle, Nextworth, Amazon Trade-In, YouSell, and Buyback World, and programs offered by retailers such as Best Buy, GameStop, and Target, offer convenient ways to get money for your gadgets, but some accept broader ranges of devices than others, and priced estimates do vary widely. For example, searching for a Verizon 32-gigabyte iPhone 5S in good condition on 10 trade-in sites pulled up offers anywhere from $120 to $199. Now, just remember, though, a big payout isn't really everything. Amazon trade-in offer the most, but you're restricted to an Amazon gift card. Not much use if you rarely shop online. Now think creatively. Trade-in sites probably won't be interested in your ancient Rio MP3 player, according to technology writer Luis Ramirez, but a tech enthusiast on eBay might pounce on it. So to get an instant quote, log on to the website and search for your device, then tick off the boxes that best describe its condition. And after shipping your device free or bringing it into the affiliated retailer, you will receive a final offer. And depending on the program, you may be paid in cash through PayPal or by check, gift card, store credit, or prepaid debit card. Now, carriers may also buy back your old device, but payment, well, it's kind of less flexible. You'll typically receive a credit card that you can use only with that carrier. So you want to sell yourself? Well, selling electronic devices privately or through an online marketplace such as Amazon or eBay means you can price them however you want, but it's up to you to manage your listing. And the beginners may find the Glyde, that's GLYDE.com site, easy to navigate. And you might give back. Some trade-in programs, such as Gazelle or AT&T, will let you donate your proceeds to charity. And for broken, sometimes the devices are broken. If they're broken beyond repair, maybe you can recycle them through the manufacturer. If it offers a mail-in or drop-off program, such as Dell's Reconnect, or a retailer such as Best Buy or Staples. Now, whether you sell, dispose, or donate, start by backing up all your data. For phones, remove SIM and memory cards, turn off any device tracking, sign out of cloud services, email, and apps, and remove passwords. Use an app such as Lookout to wipe your data and perform a factory reset. Now, for full instruction, look in your owner's manual or the website of your mobile provider or device manufacturer. Be aware, though, that this is very difficult to remove your data completely, according to John Cilio, who's CEO of the Cilio Group Deactivating Service. You should deactivate the service from your carrier also. Deauthorize computers that use digital rights management software, such as iTunes, and wipe the hard drive clean using software that overwrites data, such as the free Active at Kill Disk. Have you ever experienced a constant ringing in your ears that you can't pinpoint the cause? Well, now it might be tinnitus. That's the sensation of hearing a sound when no external sound is present. Well, in most cases, tinnitus can be managed, but for some it's a chronic condition that can affect sleep and everyday functions, and fortunately there are options to reduce its effects. About 1 in 5 people experience the perception of noise or ringing in the ears, and it's called tinnitus. Dr. Gayla Poling is the Director of Diagnostic Audiology at Mayo Clinic, and she says tinnitus can be perceived a myriad of ways, like ringing, buzzing, whistling, a cracking, a chirping. But why? Well, 90% of those with tinnitus have hearing loss, so that's usually where we start as a source for a reason for the tinnitus. And hearing loss can be age-related, come from a one-time exposure, or even exposure to loud sounds over a lifetime. Dr. Poling says those tiny hairs in our inner ear may also play a role. Those little hair cells in our inner ear are really delicate structures. That's what is actually damaged with noise exposure or wear and tear on them and your ears across the lifespan. And so those hair cells, the damage might be the reason for at least part of the cause for tinnitus for some people. Now, Dr. Poling says that there's no scientifically proven cure for tinnitus, but there are treatment and management options. That can be something as simple as getting a hearing aid to really start hearing treating the hearing loss. And once you treat that, then you can find that the tinnitus and the perception of that tinnitus is reduced. Now, other options include using a sound generator or maybe even a fan at night. And then there are more advanced treatments. There's something called tinnitus retraining therapy. And there are more ear-level masking devices where you can hear sounds throughout the day that are more distracting. Now, if ringing in your ears bothers you, you should start by start seeing your healthcare provider for a hearing test. You probably know that a lot of people are allergic to a lot of different things, and somebody suggests that maybe you start fighting those allergies with furnace filters. Yeah. Furnace filters. The claims made by furnace filter manufacturers are true. A high-efficiency filter can provide some relief from allergies, and by trapping smaller airborne particles, Now, these filters make the air in your home cleaner and less irritating to allergy sufferers. But before you install a high-efficiency filter, there are a few things worth knowing. Now, high efficiency is going to mean higher cost. And if you're currently spending $20 per year on cheapy filters, perhaps get ready for sticker shock. You can easily spend $100 a year on high-efficiency filters. And what these numbers mean on them? And furnace filters are labeled with a numerical efficiency rating, and a higher amount number means higher efficiency. Now, that simply means that the filter traps smaller particles, and when it comes to furnace filters, efficiency does not mean energy saving. And the numbers are tricky. MERV is the most common rating system, but some filters carry MPR or FPR ratings. A MERV 13 is roughly equivalent to an FPR 10 filter, and luckily there are several charts online to help you convert the numbers. Just search for MERV, that's MERV, or MPR, or FPR. And a furnace monitor that plugged with particles may not look dirty, and the manufacturer's lifespan estimates, well, they're usually pretty worthless. So how can you tell when a filter is dirty enough to stress your heating and cooling system? You can't install unless you install a filter monitor, and they're available in two versions. The mechanical filter monitors they're inexpensive and take about 5 minutes to install, even if you're a beginning driver. They're available online for less than $20. A search for furnace filter monitor. The downside is that it relies on your memory, so if you forget to check it, you won't know when the filter is clogged. Now, electronic filter monitors let you know when the filter needs replacing. The unit, known as Filter Scan Wi-Fi, costs $100 online, for example, and it connects to your home's Wi-Fi and sends an alert to your smartphone. Now, installation is as simple as driving a few screws. Then you just find a location on your return air duct and pre-drill holes. Then you mount the unit and follow the calibration and the Wi-Fi step-up instructions. Now, how are furnace filters rated? They are rated. Many filter manufacturers follow the minimum efficiency reporting value, or the MERV, that's MERV rating. That's a system established by the American Society of Heating, Refrigerating, and Air Conditioning Engineers. Now, the MERV number is an indication of the filter's effectiveness in trapping particles. A MERV 1 filter traps dust bunnies but allows most dust to pass through, right on through it, while a MERV 16 traps bacteria and particles as small as 0.30 to 1.0 micron and is used mostly in operating rooms. And if you don't have allergies, a MERV 7 furnace filter will work just as fine in your home. And if you do have family members with allergies, go to a filter with a MERV 11 rating. However, some filter manufacturers and retailers have developed proprietary rating systems like microparticle performance rating, that's MPR, or filter performance rating, FPR. So before you buy a filter based on an MPR or FPR rating, contact your local furnace service company for a filter recommendation based on your particular furnace. Now, whether you're planning a relaxing week on the beach or maybe just hitting the ski slopes, the Better Business Bureau advises you that you do your research before you book your vacation. And if you're looking for an alternative or just staying in a hotel, renting someone's home, condo, or apartment may be appealing. However, the Better Business Bureau warns consumers to watch out for fake, F-A-K-E rental listings that are not really available, or maybe they don't even exist at all. Now, the Better Business Bureau offers some tips to ensure that you're planning your vacation with a trustworthy business. Research the last-minute travel deals. Bargains on airfare or a hotel may be tempting, but be cautious when booking on an unknown travel website or through an online advertisement. Before booking any reservation, make sure to read the company's cancellation and refund policy. And consider travel insurance. Travel insurance is designed to cover such things as trip cancellations or medical emergencies. The U.S. Travel Insurance Association maintains a list of licensed travel insurance companies, so ask questions and always read the fine print to see what's covered. And pay with a credit card. Paying with a credit card rather than by cash or check gives you additional protection if something were to go wrong with the travel reservation. And verify reservations. Now, whether you're staying in a hotel, rental, or at a resort, call to confirm all arrangements. Don't only rely on a receipt or a confirmation email. Get all details of your vacation in writing, including contact information, travel itineraries, and booking confirmations. And ask about those mandatory resort fees. Hotels often come with resort fees, but the extra fees can add to the per-night cost of your stay and are mandatory. So before you book a hotel reservation online, call the hotel and ask if a resort fee is included in the hotel cost, in the total cost. And be alert for travel scams, unsolicited mail, email, and so website offering deeply discounted travel packages could leave you out of a vacation and money if you're not careful. Watch out for scams saying that you have won a trip, but if you've really won a free vacation, a legitimate business will not ask you to pay any upfront or prepaid processing fees. Now, if you're a typical investor, you'll likely spend some 60 years of your life moonlighting as a money manager. You start with your decision about your first 401k plan, and you continue to and through retirement. If you're likely to face many challenges along the way, remember young people who hold too little in stocks or fail to start saving early enough may hamper their finances for decades to come. Retirees face a bigger challenge. If they hold too much in stocks, a bear market could decimate their portfolios. But if they hold too little, inflation will quietly kill their purchasing power. Well, in the pages that you can find advice for investors in five stages, for those who are just starting, to those who already have retired, and for each stage, there's one or more portfolio that you can pick up, consisting many of favorite mutual and exchange, mutual exchange traded funds. And you can get suggestions on how to reach the goals. Every year, thousands of people buy fitness club memberships, hoping that the bright lights, glitzy machines, and peppy instructors will propel them out of their exercise ennui. But sizable portions of new patrons, they fail to show up at the gym after a month or so, having slimmed their pocketbooks, but not their waistlines. Now, because aerobic exercise is crucial to heart health, it's important to find another way to get motivated to move on to a regular basis for some people. You can, I may want to set up a home gym, maybe a more convenient and affordable option. An effective exercise routine has to be enjoyable, as well as meet your basic fitness requirements, according to Dr. Elizabeth Freitz, who's Director of Wellness Programming at Hartford-affiliated Spalding Rehabilitation Hospital. Now, for optimum health, you need at least 150 minutes, that's 150 minutes each week, of aerobic activity vigorous enough to speed up your heartbeat and bring out a light sweat. In addition, you should follow a strength training program that works all your major muscle groups at least twice a week on non-consecutive days. And finally, adding stretching and balancing movements can help you stay flexible and prevent falls. Now, if you have the space, consider a dedicated aerobics machine such as a treadmill, stationary bike, or elliptical stepper. And before you invest in a piece of exercise equipment, visit a sporting goods store to check out the durability and the feel of the item that you want. Be sure to test drive different machines to make sure that you're comfortable performing exercises. Now, bargain hunters may be able to find second-hand exercise machines at a reasonable price. Now, because these items are notorious for turning into idle dust catchers, Dr. Freitz advises that you make sure that you truly like an activity, such as running or biking, before investing in a large piece of equipment. The same wisdom applies when it comes to strength training. You start with simple, inexpensive items, such as maybe a couple of sets of small barbells in different weights, strap-on weight-filled ankle cuffs while doing leg lifts, or step-ups to build lower body strength. The trick to effective strength training using weights is to master the proper form, says Dr. Freitz. Therefore, she strongly suggests adding how-to video to your work kit. Now, you can find many good options online from sources such as the American Council on Exercise and Good Go for Life program at the National Institute on Aging. Now, another handy item for resistance training is an elastic, it's an exercise band that harnesses your own body weight to build muscle strength. Now, these bands often come in sets of four or five that range from very stretchy to heavy-duty resistance. So if you're an experienced weight trainer with the money and the floor space to spare, a so-called home gym unit, well, that might be your choice. Now, these compact machines offer a wide variety of upper and lower body strengthening exercises using a system of cables and stacked weights. Then if you go this route, it may be worthwhile to hire a personal trainer for a few sessions at least to help you design your workout and to learn the proper form and technique with each part of the machine. Now, before launching into setting up your own home gym, though, you first have to set up your mind, according to Dr. Freights. Knowing your personal goals, whether they include lowering your cholesterol, playing with your grandchildren, or improving your golf game, is the first step toward making your program successful. And ultimately, it's your commitment to changing your behavior, not just your Spotify new exercise setup, and that will keep you going. And just because you buy the latest and greatest piece of exercise equipment, it doesn't mean that you're going to use it. Despite having nearly universal health coverage through Medicare, adults 65 and older in the United States are sicker than those in other countries and are more likely to go without needed care because of costs. And that's according to the Commonwealth Fund's 20th International Health Policy Survey. Now, this survey compared the health care experiences of older adults, including those with the highest medical needs. And this is for Australia, Canada, France, Germany, the Netherlands, New Zealand, Norway, Sweden, Switzerland, and the United Kingdom, and the U.S. And it found that in the last year, 23% of U.S. seniors, citing costs, didn't go to the doctor when they were sick, didn't fill a prescription, or they skipped a dose, or didn't get a recommended test or medical treatment. In France, Norway, Sweden, and the UK, no more than 5% of seniors skip needed care because of costs. Because all U.S. adults 65 and over qualify for Medicare, they are the only group in our nation that has universal health insurance coverage. Well, auto repair complaints consistently rank among the top consumer grievances, so don't get taken for a ride. Watch for warning signs of unnecessary and overpriced service by mercenary mechanics. Many rip-offs are the works of outright crooks who, betting that, you, like most drivers, are clueless about what's under that hood, knowingly try to sell unnecessary repairs. They snow you with terminology that, you just don't understand, but sometimes inflated bills come from your car mechanics who don't know what the problem is, and they replace various parts in the hopes of finding a resolution and finding the right part. So protect yourself from them by listening to both your gut and the mechanic's words. That comes from Jack Gillis, who's Director of Public Affairs with Consumer Federation of America and author of something called The Car Book. Now, auto repair quotes should come with an explanation which, in clear and simple terms, lays out exactly what work and parts are needed, their cost, and how the problem was detected. Beware of guys who say, "I know the problem and you need X," without saying how they came to that conclusion. By way of a computer diagnosis, test drive, inspection on the lift, some combination, or can't easily even describe the planned course of action. Now, modern vehicles contain more computing power than the moon reaching Apollo spacecraft, believe it or not. So you should insist on a high-tech check for dashboard warnings and other drive impacting issues. And this computerization removes a lot of the guesswork. The question is, after you have paid off a credit card, is it better to cancel it or leave it open? Well, it's probably better to leave the account open because closing the account can hurt your credit score in several ways. Credit scores and reports are used for much more than just credit. Employers occasionally use them in making hiring decisions. Landlords may use them to evaluate rental applicants, and some insurance companies use them in setting rates. So instead of closing the account, a better option is to just cut the card up and destroy the pieces. And here's someone who says, I retired from a good paying job and then several years later went back to work for much less money. Will my Social Security benefit be calculated instead and based on income from my higher earning years or just from the latest years? Well, your Social Security benefits are calculated based on your highest 35 years of income. So depending on both the length of your work career and the amount that you made during all of your working years, it is possible that the job you had later in life will not be included in the equation, or that those later years will knock out some low-income years from your earliest years of work. But either way, your most recent job will not drag your benefits down, and your high-income years will continue to factor into your benefit calculation. Let's say your husband is owed a private pension from a company that he worked for some years ago, but now you can't find the company anymore. What can you do? Well, the Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation, which insures private pensions, has prepared an excellent booklet on this subject. Go to PBGC at pbgc.gov and enter Finding a Lost Pension in the search box. Your hunt might be complicated and even finish in a dead end, but it always does pay to give a look. Do you maybe have a friend, about 80 or so, in the early stages of dementia? Well, if he or she is alone with no executives, he or she is still capable of executing a will and a living will. So the question is, can she use do-it-yourself forms available online? Well, paying a lawyer would be hard, since she owns only her apartment, her car, and her bank account is all she has. Well, it turns out that the friend is allowed to write her own will and living will, but for them to be legal, she has to follow all the rules of the state that they live in, including the right number of witnesses. Who has her power of attorney? Who is she leaving her money to? If it's you and a surprise relative shows up, you might be in trouble. If the beneficiary is a charity, it might help her find a lawyer. Somebody writes to say, I'm 70 and a half, still working and contributing to my company's 401k. Do I have to start taking required minimum withdrawals? I also have an individual retirement account. Well, as long as you stay on your company's payroll, you are not required to take withdrawals from your 401k. The rules are different, though, for traditional IRAs and any 401k that you hold with previous employers. You must start withdrawals from those plans at 70 and a half, and you can no longer contribute to an IRA of your own. You can, however, contribute to a spousal IRA as long as you have earnings and you file taxes jointly and your spouse is under 70 and a half. That comes from the retirement plan expert James Lang. With Roth IRAs, you can make contributions to your own plan or a spousal Roth at any age as long as you have earnings that fall within the Roth income limits. Withdrawals on those are never required. Does extending your credit limit raise your score? Well, by most measures, almost a third of your score is determined by credit utilization, and that's the ratio of how much debt you have to how much credit is available to you. In general, you want to be using 30% or less of your available credit. And one way to improve your credit ratio is to pay down balances, while another way is to increase your credit limit. So call the card company where you have had the longest, cleanest payment history and remind them that you've been a dedicated client for a long time. Just don't spend more to match your higher limit. And that's our AARP program for today. And this is Bob Locke thanking you for your time this time and inviting you to join me again next time.